The views, information, or opinions expressed during Angel Answers with Amy Toys series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily are the opinions of those of the host, BBS Radio, and its affiliates and its producers. The show, its host, BBS Radio, and affiliates and its producers are not responsible and does not verify the accuracy of any of the information contained in the series. The primary purpose of this series is to educate and inform. This series does not constitute medical, legal, or other professional advice or services. The series is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any portion of this series may not be copied, reproduced, or edited without written consent by the host or its producer. And good evening, everyone, and welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very special guest tonight with me, and we are going to be discussing the divine guidance with Kara, and she's going to be talking about the tarot tonight. And Kara Sherman of Divine Guidance with Kara has served as a psychic medium, spiritual advisor, mentor, and tarot instructor to thousands worldwide since the year of 1998. Her teachings are clear and deliver insight, answers, and direction. For the last 25 years, Kara dedicated her life sitting in deep study with spiritual masters such as Mary Greer, Oneness Movement India, Jason L. Oliver from the teaching staff from John Edwards, who used to do the show Crossing Over, Dr. Doreen Virtue, and many others. She has discovered a way to bridge Eastern wisdom with Western mysticism to provide answers in everyday life with spiritual awakening. Welcome, Kara. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Amy. I'm so glad to be here. I'm doing great.
That's awesome. Thank you for coming on the show today because you and I share a love of tarot. And so you're going to come to discuss your way of doing the tarot because you do it differently than I do. And that's one of the divination tools that I use, as you do. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll learn from each other, no doubt. And I'm glad to talk about it. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, but besides the tarot, you do women's spiritual retreats, mediumship courses, and yoga meditation workshops. How did you get into all that?
Into the non-tarot stuff? You know, it's just one thing led to another.
I like to get into with my guests just, you know, a little bit more about their background and how they got to where they are. Just give us a brief synopsis of how you got into
that. Yeah, how I got into all of it. Well, my current husband, so my second marriage, we studied with Adi Ashanti in the Bay Area for about 6 years, and we zigzagged the country and sat with all kinds of different teachers, Eastern, Western, and of course yoga just sort of came up naturally before any of the pregnancies to do for health reasons and because of the Sangha and folks I was hanging out with. And of course, you know, as a psychic, one day when I was reading for somebody, someone's mother was coming through, and then I realized I must be a medium, someone's mother from the other side. I must be a medium as well. And then that opened up that whole window, and it's just kind of like a path. You know, a spirit gives us one thing at a time to follow until they open the next door or the next portal, and I don't think it ever ends. So it's been quite a journey, and I'm grateful for all of it, the good and the bad and all of it, you know?
Oh, yes, I do know. I do know. More than you. Yes, we've had discussions about that. Wow. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to be until I'm learning a lot of stuff, and when I'm 6 feet under, I guess I've learned it all, right?
Right.
So. For this lifetime. So let's get into the tarot a little bit.
Yeah.
What was it that drew your attention to the tarot, or how did the tarot come into your life? I mean, what is the tarot, first of all? Do you know where it came from?
As far as we can tell in tarot history, it dates back. Tarot was a form of divination in a deck of cards, of 78 cards, and obviously used for a lot more than divinatory purposes, which we'll get into this evening. But the earliest decks date back to the 1300s. In Milan, Italy, is where many of them are displayed in a museum there. And lots of decks found across France. That's the earliest decks we can find are from the 1300s. However, a lot of the images are said to be carved into the walls of Egypt in the Great Pyramid. So it's really unknown how far back exactly the tarot dates to. And the word tarot, however you'd like to pronounce it, potato, potato, is a kind of a play on words with the Torah, right? So there's a direct connection with the Torah that we still to this day are trying to decode, so to speak. So the tarot tends to rise in popularity throughout history at times of great change with society. And we see back in the 1300s, right, we had the medieval times transitioning over to the Renaissance period. Big popularity with tarot that came about. Again, in the 1960s with the hippie movement, lots of tarot decks sold. And at the turn of the century, right, in the year 2000, lots of people who I was reading for who you'd never think would own a tarot deck, like a banker, some of the most conservative folks would keep a tarot deck in their drawer. And the reason why it comes up that we, you know, from what we can discern at times of great transformation is people are taking power back into their own hands. And they're not really feeling as secure in their leaders in society, teachers, politicians, clergy. They're not really feeling confident in placing trust in someone outside other than themselves. So this is really a beautiful tool that can help not only for clarity of burning questions that we have for everyday life, but for self-exploration and for personal growth and, you know, healing, and the list goes on and on. And the way that it came into my life was I was a young woman, and I had to know the truth. I had to get clarity, and it was an inner, relentless sort of push to get that. And lo and behold, a tarot deck wound up in my hands as a very young woman to answer the question. I wanted to know if my boyfriend was cheating on me, because I was so sure he was, and I didn't have any proof. And sure enough, it laid it out. I mean, it gave me all the people involved. It gave me exactly where to drive to find the evidence, everything. And it gave me such enormous peace of mind, and it also showed me what I was doing to contribute to the unhealthy relationship. So I learned what I really wanted to know was my burning question of the truth of my situation, and then I got to see the mirror, right, that the tarot was holding up. So that was the way I was drawn to it, to answer your question. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I remember I was, I was at a bookstore. I was 14 years old. And I was, I don't know, playing around with the occult. And I remember, I can't remember the bookstore, maybe it was Walden Books. Remember that bookstore? Oh, my God.
Yes.
That was in the 1800s before they invented dirt. And
gives away our age. Yeah.
Well, we won't say our age. But I remember I was 14, and this tarot deck, I was drawn to it, and I was like, I knew how to read it. So I was going to Catholic school at the time. And I brought it to Catholic school, and I was called a devil worshiper, but yet people were calling me up for readings. Go figure, right? So I had, you know, a tarot deck, and then I had shut down my gifts and threw the tarot deck away. And then when I was my second year death, I was drawn back. You said 2000. You just brought it back memory. I'm like, yeah, 2000. I got another tarot deck, and I had two tarot teachers, one who taught me intuitive tarot, just reading the images and what my intuition was telling me. And the second was logical tarot, the fool's journey, you know, using the major arcana, which we will go into a little bit later. So mm-hmm. I've learned two ways to read tarot, and I just do it intuitively.
Nice. And you know, when I hold tarot class, that those folks who don't have any familiarity with meanings of images, we learn so much from them, because when we just do it intuitively, the literal picture on the card is said to open up neural pathways in the brain, and it's building our own psychic dictionary. So an image on a card may speak to you in a way that you can't find in any tarot book, and that's really the purest way to read the tarot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even with my tarot deck I use today, I use the Goddess Tarot, and I'll do my readings, and I'll just look, and I've been doing this like you for billions of years, you know, and you look at the card, and sometimes you see something different in the card, and you're like, I didn't notice that before. Then you tell the client, they're like, yeah, that's right, and I'm like, I don't know where that came from. I mean, that's how my experience is, even after all these years reading. I mean, it's got to be.
Right, there's something that pops off of that card that you've yes. never seen before, and you've used the deck a million times. Right.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing that's been happening to me more and more lately. And I'm like, okay, no wonder my cards are falling apart. I got to get a new deck, but I love this one. So, I mean, that's just me. For people who want to learn the tarot, do you feel it's hard to learn, and can it seem threatening to some to try 78 card means? What is
right.
your take on that?
Right, it can be daunting, you know. How am I ever going to learn this? How would I ever memorize that much? And I say anyone can learn it. And it's really a matter of breaking it down, right? Just like anything, it's really not complicated at all. If we have your standard tarot deck, I want to clarify this. The difference between a tarot deck and, say, an oracle deck is that a traditional tarot deck has 78 cards. There are some decks here and there that will vary, but your traditional Rider-Waite-Smith deck, which I'll explain in a moment why that's a great deck to learn off of if you're a beginner, has 78 cards in it. And if we break it down, the first 22 cards are called Major Arcana, and Arcana is an ancient word meaning hidden knowledge. And so the Major Arcana cards are of the element of spirit and are really the more significant ones that will come up in a reading for somebody where we can't just get it immediately, right? We don't just go, okay, I got it, and I'm on to the next card. These are life lessons that we get with the Major Arcana, the first 22. The other 56 are comprised of Minor Arcana or Pip cards, which are the everyday chop wood, carry water types of cards that relate to the elements. So if we know we've got 22 majors, 56 minors, we've got that breakdown, majors and minors. Okay, now we've got our elements and we've got our numbers. So the elements are very simple. The major arcana are spirit. They represent spirit. And different readers have different associations with the elements. Most across the board, pentacles, coins, stones, right? These are the earth element. What is earth? Money, anything tangible in the material world. Money, health, things, right? Most of the time. Wands are fire in most systems, and wands are action. Mm-hmm. So all your wands cards have to do with action. Your cups cards are water, and water is feelings, psychic visions, dreams, the more sensitive, intuitive side to us, although wands can be intuitive as well, but cups are really dreamy, watery. You know, I consider those to be super psychic because our feelings reveal so much. And then, of course, swords. Our thoughts or communication, and this is generally speaking, there are some readers that will flip-flop wands and swords with air and fire. Yeah, but if we've got that broken down to, okay, I know my elements, which is, you know, earth, fire, water, air, spirit, and now there's numbers from 1 to 10, and then after that there's the royal court. That's it. Aces are 1 to 10, and then the royal court. Some people ask, did tarot stem from just a regular deck of playing cards, right, where you play poker with and such? And there's different opinions with that. So I don't know what you think about that, Amy. It's not, you know, tarot chi, if we go back early enough, there were cards that weren't included in a standard deck of cards. But
right.
it's similar, right, because we have the ace through 10, so it's similar.
Right.
So once
right.
we learn number meanings, right, and then element meanings and majors and minors, we know we've got major and minor. It's really not that hard. And as you say, if I just take the literal image off of the card and I maybe start out with just three cards, it has a sentence that's formed for me. And rather than overthinking it, I tell folks in class, try not to overthink this. This is a different kind of learning when we're learning the tarot, in that we don't lean forward like we do in traditional education where I'm trying to get it. We don't have to try so hard. We really need to lean back in our chair, take a deep breath, and become very receptive to what some of these images are speaking to us.
Yeah. The playing cards, I've heard of that. I know some readers who do that. It's not one of my things. I have tried it. It does work, but I'm not drawn to it like the tarot.
I like it. It's not enough.
Yeah.
It's too limited. Yeah.
It is. I mean,
in our opinion.
That. Yeah, in our opinion. Yeah, exactly. And the, you know, when I did the logical tarot, I call it the Fool's Journey, my teacher did the major arcana first, and then we did the numbers meetings, and then we did each suit. And it kind of, it was a long process. I actually like the intuitive tarot, in my opinion, but I use his method for teaching my students.
Yeah, and I happen to feel that if you're drawn to something, 9 chances out of 10, you did it in a past life, right? So when I picked up a tarot deck, just like you said, I've known this forever. And then I had to just, you know, do a little bit of research on my own to build confidence, but most of the time it was like I knew the meaning before I looked it up, the general meaning, of course, and the way that you read it, we've done it already. And so if you're drawn to the tarot, it's probably going to be easy for you. If it's someone that doesn't want to learn it, right, there's another form of divination that they're usually drawn to. So just know, if you're drawn to something, you most likely have a gift to do it.
Exactly. And also, if you want to learn the tarot, and I tell my students this, I don't know about you, because there's so many tarot decks out there, and people are like, is there any tarot deck that kind you want me to use? No. Whatever you're drawn to, go to a bookstore if you can, or go to Amazon, look at tarot decks.
Right.
Whatever you're drawn to, that is the tarot deck. My tarot decks talk to me. You know, I'll go into a store, and, you know, I'm with somebody, and I'm like in the tarot, and sometimes I'll pick up decks, and people are like, what the hell are you doing? It's like, no, because that deck is talking to me to pick it up and play. And I love to play with new decks, you know, I love it, but definitely. So that's another way that if you feel you want to learn this, get a tarot deck, go to a store, take your time, go to a metaphysical store, go to Barnes & Noble, they have a big section, you know, just do it and have fun. Don't be afraid of it. They don't bite. You know, you're not going to be cursed or something. You know,
right?
You know, some people are like, oh, my God, it's the devil's cards. It's like bullshit.
Yeah,
you know?
some people are tactile, right? They have to hold it. And there are some metaphysical shops that have the sample deck that allow you to, you know, hold it, shuffle it, work with it. There's a wonderful website called eclectic.net, and it's A-E-C-L-E-C-T-I-C, so it's eclectic, and then .net, and then /, and then T-A-R-O-T, /. Now, that has pretty much every deck that's ever been out there listed on there in their A to Z section. And so if you want to see images, you know, some of the stores, you can't open the deck. They don't have a sample deck. If you want to browse some images, eclectic.net /tarot/ will allow you different categories of decks. They'll show you the most current ones. Which I guess brings us around to, if you are learning, and thank you for bringing that up, if you are a learner, if you are a beginner with the tarot, and it's a great foundational deck to learn from. It's called the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, and Rider is the publishing company out of London that published this deck in the early 1900s. Arthur Edward Waite was the creator of the deck, and Pamela Coleman Smith was the artist, also known as Pixie, who was just phenomenal, but she didn't get the credit that she deserved until after her death. So she's the artist. And that deck, so many decks mimic the artwork, you know, that you see in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. A lot of people say to me, it's very stiff, I don't relate to it, I don't relate to the images, and I tell them, get a little one anyway, because I want you to learn off of it, and then you can throw it in the trash, give it away, do whatever you want, and then go to one that you're drawn to, or buy one you're drawn to simultaneously with the Rider-Waite, because some of those images on there are referenced in thousands of decks that came thereafter. And Rider-Waite-Smith is not the original deck. If we go back to, like, the first earliest decks, it's like the Visconti family, and, you know, we go through the Tarot Encyclopedia from France and from Italy, Milan. So Rider-Waite-Smith is really very recent, considering, you know, in history, it's only the early 1900s that we saw it. But that's just, you know, in case anyone wants to do it that way, where, you know, can you tell me the best deck to learn off of? In my opinion, just to learn, it's great. And then you can do what you want with it.
Exactly. I just tell, you know, people whatever they're drawn to. You know, that's why I like to go out and feel things, and I'm just more touchy-feely that way. Yeah, I'll go to, you know, I'll go to Barnes & Noble and be feeling up tarot decks, you know, and be on a date, and they're like, why don't you feel me up? No, I'm just kidding. I'm bad tonight. You speak about tarot archetypes and current year-end cards. What does that mean? And actually, I know about the archetypes, but I've never heard of current year cards. What does that mean?
Current year cards. Yeah, that's a great question. So, and this is a system, a divination system that comes from Mary Greer, and author Mary Greer, who's basically the queen of tarot, in my opinion. And the book that the more recent book is called "Who Are You in the Tarot?" In the 90s, it was Tarot Constellations, and then that went out of print, and now it's called Who Are You in the Tarot? And what it is it's a formula where we add up the month, the number of the month, the number of the day that you were born, and then the year, the number year you were born, to get a four-digit equation, which we then take that four-digit base number, add it across, and reduce it to, if we're doing a lifetime archetype, to 10 or less. If we're doing current year, that would mean, so let's take yours, Amy. So let's just take the month and day of your birthday, and we're going to add it to the current year. So what is your birthday again?
March 5th.
Perfect. So we would take, so for Amy, right, it's 3 is the month she was born,
mm-hmm.
5 is the number day, and then the current year is 2017, because that's what we're in, and that adds up to 2025. Now we take that and add it across, 2025. So 2 plus 2 is 4. 4 plus 5 is 9. So 9 in the tarot is a major arcana card called the Hermit. So Amy would be in her Hermit year. Now, being that she's got some experience under her belt, she's not just maybe taking a course or learning, which is traditionally what happens during the Hermit year. We take more salt baths. But Amy's in the phase of her life where she's teaching, right? You're teaching now, so you would be teaching more this year. You would be writing. There's probably a writing happening toward a book or mm-hmm. a curriculum. And spending more time alone is really important in the Hermit year. But basically, the current year card is such a wonderful guidepost for us to see. You know, if someone comes to me and they say, I just can't seem to meet the right guy. I wanted to get married this year. I don't know why it's not flowing. And to find out, oh, I'm in my Hermit year. I'm supposed to be focusing on, right, whatever it is, whether it's research, study, teaching, learning, and self-inquiry. There's a lot of growth that we do, especially when you're a teacher, Amy, a mm-hmm. spiritual teacher like you, that mm-hmm. you are cultivating this year to then bring out to the world next year, which is not that far from now, March of 2018, you move into your Wheel of Fortune year. So the current year card is changing every year. Some people say it changes around their birthday. Other people tell me it's at the first of the year, so January 1st about. Some people are a little ahead of the game where they notice it maybe a month before their birthday. They feel that shift. So that's what
yeah.
that is.
That is really cool because, yeah, you had told me because we've talked, you know, and you've read for me and I've read for you. You said I was in my Hermit year, which you're right because I'm going to be starting a book soon about my journey with recovering from alcoholism. And,
yeah.
you know, I am spending a lot more time and I am teaching, so that is very correct.
Right. It's pretty spot on. It's quite
yes.
amazing.
It mm-hmm. is. It really is. That is really cool. I didn't know how you came up with that because when I used to talk to you, like, you're in your Hermit year, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? So thank you for explaining that to me.
I have some people that I read for who say to me, I feel like I've been in my Hermit year my whole life. And then what's interesting is if we add up their birthday, oftentimes they are a 9, and they are the Hermit archetype. And to know your archetype is the most unbelievable gift. Because then it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm an old soul. I'm a 9. I came mm-hmm. here to teach. I came here, right? Usually it's a lot of Atlantean folks who are old souls who came back mm-hmm. to complete something in this lifetime. But we take that tarot card out of our archetype, our lifetime archetype, set it on the altar, set it somewhere where you can look at it, and like you say, let it speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
The cards will talk to us, especially if you're clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
And to know yourself to that level of comfort really is an awakening in itself.
mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. helps us
yep.
do shadow work, helps us embrace the parts
yeah.
of ourselves that we're not so in love with. Yeah.
Yeah, well, after you've dealt with what I've dealt with, you just face it and you move on from it. That's why I'm not happy with this month. I'm like, okay, are these eclipses going to hit me? They always hit me somewhere. My astrologer's like, no, that was 3 years ago. All right, let's see here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the tarot and being psychic for a second. Is the tarot psychic, or am I psychic or psychotic, and how does that all work?
I'm just kidding. And or is it all of the above, right?
Yeah, all of the above, exactly.
So I, you know, I get a lot of people that say to me, well, the tarot isn't psychic, you know, it's not psychic. And I say, well, the psychic is using it or delving into it. And the best way I can explain this to folks is it's almost like a hologram, and that the movement, that divine intelligence that allows the trees to grow, that keeps our hearts beating, that keeps the world spinning on its axis, that beautiful momentum is what brings forth the truth from a tarot deck or from many forms of divination. So sometimes people say, I don't know when to stop shuffling. I'm afraid I'm going to get in the way of that divine intelligence. So you are psychic. We are all psychic. We are all intuitive. It's just a different form of expression. If we develop it, some people don't ever develop it. I can't say I've ever met somebody who isn't intuitive to some degree and has some beautiful way of accessing, higher vibrational information. And so that divine knowing or divine intelligence pours through the deck. How do I know when to shuffle? When to stop shuffling is a question I often get in class. And I say, for some people, if you hold the deck and you're clairsentient, which means clear feeling, right, you'll know, because the deck becomes very heavy and you can't even lift your hand another time to shuffle it even one more time. Start dealing it out from the top or however you'd like to. Some people pull from the middle. They'll fan it and they'll feel the cards and pull the ones they like. When Mary Greer used to read for me, she would never draw the cards. She would shuffle it and she'd fan it and have me pull them. And she'd say, just wave your hand over the deck and stop where you like and pull that card. And she was phenomenal, very humble teacher. And then for other folks who are clairaudient, clear hearing, they're shuffling and then they may hear, stop now. Mm-hmm. And you stop. And that's when you deal. Someone else who's clairvoyant may actually see when to stop, because they're looking down at the deck and they go, okay, that looks right to me, so I'm going to stop here. And of course, the claircognizant folks, who are usually very brilliant minded, they go much faster. They don't take as much time as we do, and they tend to be very speedy in their thinking too, but they go, I don't know how I know, Kara, I just know it's time to stop shuffling. And of course it is. And Mary Greer used to say, as well as another tarot teacher of mine, you can't draw a wrong card. You can't shuffle this wrong. You can't get a wrong card, because when someone is meant to get a card, or really meant to get a message, all 78 cards in the deck become that same card in that instant, because that's the card that that person is meant to get, if that makes any sense. There's really a magic to it that is unexplainable.
Yeah, you just described all the stuff that I've done. You know, some people have, like, shuffled for me when I've gotten readings, and they do three, you know, piles, and I'll hear two or three or whatever. I'll just feel it. I've done it every which way. When I do my readings, though, I do have people shuffle the cards, ask the question, really focus, spread them out, and pick out, like, whatever number my guides say. You know, that's how I read.
Yeah.
When I'm doing in-person readings. I mean, I've done it so many different ways through the years, so it's quite fascinating how different people work with different ways. It really is. Yeah. Yeah, and have the curse of being clairaudient. That's fun when they talk to you.
Yeah. Well, the cards will talk to you. If you take one out and set it on your altar, it will speak to you, you know, without doubt. Yep.
Oh, yes, it will. And why do you think people would want to learn the tarot?
I think it's like we were saying earlier, it's something that you're compelled to, you're drawn to it. And then once you know, I have a lot of people that say, oh, I'd love to learn that, but I just don't think I have time. It's just daunting. It's going to take me too long. It really does. It takes a good year to get the foundational things. But I think the biggest reason I could suggest to someone why to use the tarot, because, oh my gosh, even the top reasons, Be your own guide. It helps you to connect better with your inner guru, with your guides, your spirit guides. It helps shine a mirror on situations that we're in that can be complicated or painful, and it allows us to see maybe the other person's perspective. or point of view, and allow us to see ourselves where we're blinded, right? We're blinded. The Two of Swords, for example, is a woman who has a blindfold on with water behind her and two swords crossed in front of her that she holds in the traditional Rider-Waite Smith deck. And that is, I'm blinded. I gave a meaning to that card, and it was, I'm blinded by my own defenses. And so much of the time when we engage in situations that are challenging in life, we have our defenses up, or we have programs running and filters going that we can't see through. We just don't have the ability to see through. And the tarot will allow us to very gently and compassionately reveal what is going on underneath and help us break down those walls of defense so that we can see the other person's perspective. Even if their behavior is questionable, the tarot will definitely lay it on the line and show us the truth if someone's being dishonest, but it will also show us the very best way to handle it. And I love a quote that Mary Greer has, whatever's around the corner, the tarot will help you handle it in the very best way. So it's accessing wisdom. If you had access to wisdom every morning when you woke up, before you went to work, or before you had to go to, say, a party, an important, you know, business party or something in your life, maybe out on a first date, a blind date or something, wouldn't you like to have a little bit of a heads up of what to expect and how to handle it?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, too, it's just my, oh, I don't know about how you feel about this, but when you're doing a reading or when you're doing your personal reading, do you feel it's how you ask the question to the tarot?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's how you ask it, right? Otherwise, right, exactly. And I know, you know, when something is really charging our emotions, people often ask, can I read for myself?
Mm-hmm.
You can if you're not too emotional. And, of course, it's always best to consult with a professional psychic. Call up Amy and say, this is what I'm getting. I wanted to know what you're getting because you're completely objective here and you don't have any vested interest. But yes, how we pose the question is really important, and different layouts for answers. You know, some have advice positions in the center. A Celtic cross spread is a great universal spread to look at to give us maybe a broadened perspective, and maybe we're not asking the right question. So oftentimes I'll just phrase, what do I need to know about the situation in my highest and best good and everyone involved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I tell my clients, too, because if they're too vague, they're going to get a vague answer from spirit. And, you know, my guides are chirping in my ear, tell them to ask more specific question, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
yes.
I don't want to appear I'm fishing, because I'm not. You know, I want to get into the reading.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on. I'm more of a nonsense reader. I get right into it, and then we talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what is your best objective course? Because sometimes, you know, everybody's course is different, and there's no right or wrong answer. It just is. You know, there's, you know, like we get calls on what married, let's use an example. Maybe somebody's having an affair. That's a hard question to get, but you have to remain objective because it's a life lesson for that person calling. I don't know if you feel that way, but that's what I feel.
I agree. I do. I really agree. There's always what I call the core or the root of the situation that we're calling about, that is the linchpin that holds that in place. And if we can get to that level, that person is free regardless of the outcome, which is sweet. And the tarot can bring us to that depth. So I agree with that. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard because some people ask questions where, again, it's coming from a filter of how they're interpreting the situation. And if we can, it's hard, you know, if we can allow ourselves to be as open as possible to hearing what spirit has to say, and then we can narrow it down, you know, more and more so get closer and closer to that question. But if we can come way out and approach it from almost like the absolute truth, then we can access the personal truth, the relative truth.
Yeah, and it's society or religious systems or structures that place these barriers on us in these filters, too. So I just wanted to point that out because as a reader, I try to remain objective like you do. And some people are like, oh, don't judge me. I'm not going to judge you. This is your life lesson. I'm going to tell you what I see from the situation, but I'm not going to judge you on it because You know, it happens when it's supposed to happen. So.
Right. And the tarot really helped me to stop judging myself so much.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And you learn to, you know, love yourself. And that's very important. And people think, oh, that is so stupid. You know, why would you want to love yourself? Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
There's a lot of healing in that. So. There's a lot of healing.
Yeah. What do you... It's the shortcut to enlightenment, though, isn't it? Self-love.
Yes, it is.
If we can do it, not always easy, but we know it. If we know to do it, you know, then and the tarot will ride with. It'll work at whatever level we're at. It never stops. Mm. I've noticed that no matter how many years I've read it, I can never really know it.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to teach me and grow with me, and it's like, gosh, I'm really only just touching into the depth of wisdom, right? I'm in the beginning phase, honestly. Of even knowing the depth of wisdom that it holds, so it's humbling.
It is. In your opinion, what do you like the most about the tarot for yourself personally?
Gosh, well, I'm a collector. I tell people I'm a collector, but really I have an addiction. I have probably over a couple hundred decks, and I don't use them all. It's ridiculous. I told the kids when I die, please just take my body, throw it onto Mount Shasta, and just sell every deck here. The roomy one will go for the most, probably. You know, it's hilarious. I don't even know why, Amy. I love a deck. You throw me into a metaphysical store, I go to the tarot section. I think because, and I can never have enough. I can never have too many decks. I think because I like to be prepared. Maybe it's some funny little character trait of mine that I don't like to go into situations being unprepared, which is probably one of my life lessons, isn't it? That maybe you need to just not be so controlling, Kara. You know, let it unfold organically. You don't have to know everything before. And I can't know everything. But it's become, I think because of the oracle, the past, in meditation I saw myself, you know, as an oracle. I'm sure we were together in former lifetimes in Delphi and Egypt and such. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a helpful tool. I love the artwork. I love seeing all the different forms of expression that we see in the court cards. With the people cards, and knowing people in my everyday life that fit the King of Wands or the Queen of Swords, and learning about myself and how to interact better with people around me.
Yeah, I noticed that when I'm doing with my private clients a reading, and sometimes there'll be a court card that comes up, and I'm like, I have one lady, I gave her the Queen of Swords, and I sent her the picture. I said, this is you right now. You need to be the Queen of Swords. You know, she refers to it every day since I took a picture of that card.
Oh, wow.
It gave her such a backbone. She was dealing with something at work, and she needed that. And I'm like, you need to become more of the Queen of Swords. And she was laughing. She goes, the Queen of Swords? And she's like a Cancerian. And I'm like, no, you need to be a bitch. So here you go.
Yeah.
Get your Queen of Swords.
Oh, that's hilarious. That sword of truth, right? In Celtic mythology, Avalonian, the Lady of the Lake, that's what she probably needed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has. Yeah, and I said, think of that sword going up their butt. Okay, really.
That'll do it.
So she was going around work, you know. Even though she didn't say anything, that Queen of Swords exterior veneer, I would just see her walking around. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I created a monster. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But this is the kind of stuff as psychics we deal with. You know, we're here to walk with you, and at least, you know, and I've talked to you, I've consulted with you about things, and you have for me. And like I said, you know, we're here to support each other, but also with our clients, we walk side by side with them. You're not on this journey alone. Sometimes you're dealing with heavy stuff. I mean, I don't know about you,
Absolutely. But
I have had more readings where people are ending relationships this month, and I'm thinking it's only August 7th. Seriously?
Right. It has actually been for like the last 8 weeks. Yes, long-term marriages, because, you know, mostly we're on the lunar eclipse full moon tonight, which is such a perfect time for us to be talking about this. And then, like you say, the solar eclipse with big radical change pushing through here. And we're no longer able, it seems, to sidestep why we came here for our mission. And if there's anything in the way, it's toast. Yeah, I agree.
It is. You know, so it's a good way. The tarot, I think, for some people, if you're drawn to that, or maybe the angel cards or oracle cards or whatever, Doreen Virtue has some great angel decks. That's how I started.
Yeah.
I chose the, what the heck is it called? I don't know. It was one of those angel oracle decks. And I remember reading that deck and just doing my, every day I would just take a card, and you could do that with the tarot too. Like you said, take a card, focus on it for that day and let it talk to you, or, I don't know, do whatever.
Right, right. Let it sort of subliminally speak to you. You know, in the same way someone can put a book under their pillow, you can put a tarot deck in a case under your pillow and ask, you know, that you, as the secrets be revealed to you, the mysteries, which are beyond language. And that's what I love about the tarot also. When you ask me what is it that you like about it, it's beyond, because I'm a Gemini, and even though I have a Cancer moon and I have lots of planets in Cancer and tend to lean more intuitive, I'm very chatty mentally, and I don't like that. I have a busy mind, so I have to do a lot to quiet it. And the tool that I love for that, aside from obviously meditation, is the tarot, because it's images. And a symbol speaks a thousand words. So it doesn't come through my limited filter, right, of chatter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, that's how we start our psychic dictionary, is maybe there's an image on a card that means something to us, and that's what we would enter in. We would log it in to our journal as, you know, when I get this, much of the time it means, just like dream symbology. As we learn to interpret all of it, it all fits together. All forms of divination come back to the one.
It does. And the tarot for me is just very, it was very grounding. Like I said, my first tarot deck was 14. You know, and my poor mother, God bless her. She's very intuitive herself. And, you know, you're saying some people are psychic and don't use it. Well, she's very empathic. So she would. I just felt her energy saying, "Oh, there goes my daughter again," you know, and her one of those wild, you know, divination chases or whatever. But you know, God bless her. But she never discouraged it or encouraged it. I mean, you know, she was getting calls from the teachers from a Catholic school saying, "What the hell is your daughter doing now?" My mother's like, "That's just Amy, and it's in her final year of you know, being at your school. She's not going to be there in like 2 months. So leave my daughter alone. You know, let her do what she wants."
And you know, you're really bringing up an important topic for so many people, because we are in a Christian nation, and so many of us were raised Presbyterian Christian. Even Judaism, though they're a little more lenient with communicating with spirit, there are a lot of, you know, strict religious folks who have a stigma issue with the tarot. Why? Because Hollywood has made it out to be something, you know, not anymore, but traditionally it was something very scary. And it seemed to be reserved for witches or people who did things that had phenomena, power, you know, above and beyond others, and that was not fitting into control. But a lot of us, I read for a lot of folks that were raised Christian, and I also know a lot of Christians, psychic Christians. You know, it's very interesting, your modern-day psychic Christian, they have changed a lot of their belief systems from the old way of doing it. Nonetheless, the stigma around it, and as you say, you were in a Christian school, and yet you were very drawn to the tarot, and it's very interesting, because a lot of us are crippled by fear, by stepping into an unknown territory that has a stigma. And once we really open up and see, gee, there's nothing really that scary or bad here. If anything, it's preventing something scary or bad, right? It's actually allowing me to see the darker aspects of myself so that I'm not attracting it over and over again with people who I draw to me from society. So it's actually a tool of light, I could say, or of goodness. And it may take, you know, God knows how long this will take for mass society to really embrace the tarot in that way. But so many people are thinking outside of the box. Really since the turn of the century, right? The surgence of it, and the undeniable draw that you had to it, and you knew inside it was not bad, and there was something here calling you. And this is a really important piece to everyone listening who's thinking, I would like to develop my intuitive skills through one of Amy's courses or whatever, whether it's through tarot or not. And that is, the very first step we have to take I think, and I don't know if you agree with this, is the courage to stand alone. Mm-hmm. And while we have the topic of Christianity up here, one time when I was meditating and I didn't want to do something, I didn't want to go back to Michigan, I was telling the Ascended Master pictures on my wall, and of course Jesus was one of the big pictures in front of me. I said, I don't want to go back to Michigan, I'll be so alone. And the words that came forth from his picture were, the strong stand alone and the weak find their strength in numbers. Now, I don't know, you know, I don't know the Bible as well as you, because I didn't go to Sunday school. I was raised by two parents. One was Presbyterian and one was Jewish. So I don't know if that's in the Bible, but to me, that one phrase got me through those 4 years there. It's the most important step is to be willing to be courageous enough to believe what you're getting, and don't worry about being wrong. As long as you're pure of heart and your intention is pure, right, which pretty much everyone I meet has pure intent, right? They think they're doing the right thing. you will be surprised of what opens up for you. And taking that tiny little baby step of being courageous enough to listen to your intuition, you can't believe how your life unfolds and gifts are brought to you for having that amount of courage and for the willingness to stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my core fears, I think, as a human, is abandonment. I know in past lives I've been abandoned. I'm sure I had it as a child in this life. And so it took a lot for me to trust. It's like, okay, I guess I'll risk it, but it was too painful to follow someone else's belief system than to go in and rely on my direct experience. And that's what I think the tarot confirms.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you agree with that, but is that if I'm sensing something and I want to pull a couple cards to see, am I really off with this? The tarot will usually confirm, yes, you're off, or no, you're spot on. You stand your ground. That's exactly, you're seeing it accurately. That's what's happening. And those are the first steps. I don't know if you agree with that.
Well, I do, but I have different life lessons. I agree with that because I came from a family that, you know, I don't really talk, you know, associate with, because I have my own. I'm the black sheep, you know. There's Amy going on one of her crusades, you know. And the truth of the matter is, no, it is. I mean, you when you speak your truth, you stand alone for a while, but I've noticed that there's people that are joining the movement of whatever your truth is. You will find those who are like you. And, you will find those who are like you. So it's interesting because, you know, they say go find your tribe. Well, I think I found my tribe, okay? But the tarot, I mean, at 14, in eighth grade, in a Catholic school where they already didn't like me, you know, I'm bringing tarot deck and reading in recess and being called a devil worshiper, but yet they wanted to know more about it. So as I see, I'm more of the rebel. You know, I'm more of the wanderer, the rebel, according to, you know, I have a little different teaching. But, you know, and now I don't give a damn. I'm getting to the age. I don't care if you like me or not. There's the door, and don't let you hit you on the way out.
right.
But, but the tarot does help if you're drawn to it and that, you know, it's a cool teaching. Like, I also learned the Kabbalah when I was in Buffalo.
Mm.
And they do have the tarot and the Kabbalah. I had a teacher that used to use both, and it was quite interesting when you said tarot, Torah, and the Kabbalah. That just brought it full circle for me, by the way, too. I was going to say that. My brain went blank. You know, at this age, it goes blank anyway.
And I don't know the Kabbalah, and I don't know, I really don't know, you know, the Tree of Life, the very basics, but for you to have that kind of information and be able to know the tarot from that angle, too, is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I'm sure it'll come back to me. It's like taking Spanish. It takes a while to come back, but the tarot, but any kind of tool of divination, like maybe the pendulum, the oracle cards, the tarot, are different ways to open up your intuition as well. Not everything's going to work for everybody. Now, me, I don't need the tarot, but I like to use it as a backup method to confirm what I'm getting. I have spirit guides that talk to me. They talk to me a lot. So I have chattering in my head when I don't even want it. No, I'm not psychotic. I'm not schizoaffective, you know, where I'm hearing the voices and the TV talking to me. No, it's not like that. I'm clairaudient. I hear spirit. And that's, I just, when I'm reading, I get confirmation from the tarot. That's how I use it in my readings.
Mm. Right. It's a guidepost, you know, for many. Right. And it's a great beginner tool until we do connect closely with our spirit guides, and until we are having that channel of information just stream through, some days it's nice to have that backup when we can't quite. Some people are harder to read than others for us. We're not everybody's healer and everybody's reader, so
right.
It's nice to have that backup, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes too, like you and I work in different and in almost the same circles, and read sometimes the same people, and sometimes I may not work for somebody, but you might be, and vice versa.
Sure.
Because everybody has different gifts and abilities, and I tell people if I'm not connecting with them as well, I don't mind telling them, hey, I'm not connecting with you. Or sometimes they're so damn angry, and I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa, man, I don't want to go into that. You know, hellhole.
Yeah, my guides basically shut down everything when someone's
yes.
like that, and it's like, I'm so sorry, I can't access it. There's just yeah, that doesn't allow it to open, anger, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when you're doing a reading, you want to do it, like, let's, for example, when you're starting the tarot, if you're angry, upset, try to not read your tarot cards. Like you said, don't read for yourself. When you're
emotionally charged, right. Or for somebody else who's terribly, for somebody else who's really demanding and you're a beginner, practice on folks who are open-minded. Naysayers need to sit in the back. You need to send them to the back of the line until you have a little experience under your belt. It's okay to get a skeptic once you've connected and you really know your stuff. But in the beginning, our spirit guides are doing everything they can, including our tarot guide, right? And this is something I might have left out earlier. The planet Chiron in our chart in Western astrology supposedly is very significant to us as tarot readers, and you want to see how far it falls from your ascendant. What house is it in? What sign is it in? And that reveals a lot about your reading style. And Mary Greer, who has written, many tarot books and has taught tarot all around the world for all these years. I mean, she's pretty much, to me, the guru of tarot on the planet, who's alive right now, knows the most. I think she said Chiron, the planet, in her chart fell 2 degrees or 1 degree or something away from her ascendant. And Chiron represents tarot. It represents tarot, the ability to read the tarot. And so I go, oh, my gosh, it's 1 degree from your ascendant. Are you on your path or what?
Yes.
Just to bring that up.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of Chiron in my chart, which is also called the wounded healer. So the wounded healer is someone who is trying to heal their wounds while helping others, basically, for those who don't know what Chiron means. It's it's pretty screwed up because, like I said, I go to an astrologer once every couple months just to see what the heck's going on, and she'll say, yeah, you're Chiron. Something's going on with Chiron here. I said, oh, great. What else do I need to heal? But that's part of life. We came here to heal and evolve and to learn. This is the school of life, and this is the way your soul moves forward, the lessons here on Earth. And so in the next month, I'll have Lisa Barnett, and she talks about that through the Akashic Records. But it's a very fascinating interviews I have, too, with her. So tarot is just one way. That's another way. So, yeah, Chiron, wonderful planet.
Yeah, that is of interest to me, and I will definitely be listening to that show. And I'm sure, I think it said if we have Chiron in the first house, we're the wounded healer, and I do have it in the first house, and it sounds like you probably have it relatively close there, too. And, the topic of martyrdom. And, again, with the tarot, being able to view it through a clearer lens, and removing my martyrdom, my martyr filter of feeling sorry for myself, because I will not feel sorry for myself anymore, even though I have healing and wounds to heal still, because it takes the key to my freedom and it puts it in somebody else's pocket, depending upon you over there, whoever over there is hurting me. If I can find my way back to my center, then it's okay for that person over there to act whatever way. I may still carry the heaviness of the Chiron, of the wounded healer, but I no longer fall into the pattern of feeling sorry for myself or feeling like I'm the victim, because then it's, again, putting the control in someone else's hands, and it is a very hard lesson to learn, and I continue to learn it. So I'm right there with you.
Well, unfortunately, we are coming to the end of the show, Kara. This has gone by really fast. Yes, yeah. We could. Well, I think we'll have another show. We'll think of something, and I'd definitely like to have you on again. This was very fascinating. I love learning about different ways and different situations. So tell our listeners where they can find you.
Thank you, and I would love to be on again. I really enjoyed my time here tonight. So my name is Kara Sherman, and it's spelled K-A-I-R-A, and then last name S-H-E-R-M-A-N. And that's my website, karasherman.com. And the phone number to reach us at is 805-309-2350. And I want to wish everyone a very peaceful lunar eclipse and solar eclipse. And thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you, Kara. And my name is Amy Toy. This is Angel Answers with Amy Toy. My website is amytoy.com. You can find me all over the Internet. If you find me, go for it. Everyone have a great night, and we will see you next week for another exciting guest. And peace out.